I forgot what we're going to talk about.
Competition, nerves, and stuff. Oh, yeah, right.
Lead the way, Liv. Lead the way. Ooh, and we're live.
All right.
Test episode number 2.
Yes.
Of Speakeasy morphing into Grappling With, but a little different, a little shakeup. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I just said, but here we are, running it again. As you can see, things are a little, we're getting better every time.
Yes.
That's the goal. Focus is a little good, a little better, and audio should be good. We'll see.
Yep.
And we're going off the fly. We're going on the fly, as some would say. And Olivia won't be muted this time. And she's going to contribute a lot.
Yes. I'm excited.
Something we were kind of just spitballing talking about while we were eating French toast this morning was we just had a competition. And I wussed out, as usual. And you did not.
No.
You competed.
I did.
First time as a Cocoa Puff belt.
Yep. My Cocoa Puff debut.
It was so good. At the, I don't know what they call it, but Fuji International,
Seattle or something
like that, mm-hmm. put on by Fuji. I don't mind calling them out on their BS because that was the worst tournament I think I've ever been to. When we talk about that, I mean ran.
Yeah.
And that was from a perspective of the, I wasn't coaching anybody. I was just trying to go there to take photos.
Right.
Of friends, and it was an absolute mess.
Yeah, I have some opinions on one of the main drivers behind that. Mm-hmm. Was the same day registration, right?
Yeah, because they were taking people up until like call times.
Right, essentially. So you didn't really know who was in your bracket or
yeah,
what was happening. So,
part of it was the call times and everything was on Central Time.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Snohomish, Washington, we're not on Central Time. So that was difficult. And then they ran kids first. And we noticed stuff like they... And I think if you understand positions and you're educated, you can be a ref at a lower belt level. Mm-hmm. But they had white belts reffing. Good on them if they volunteered. They're just trying to help. Not upset at that guy. Upset that they had inexperienced people reffing matches.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Especially if you're, you know, putting yourself out there on the, you know, you want.
It's like $80 too.
Consistent reffing, right?
Yeah, at least. Yeah. Yeah. So
as good as you can. I mean, reffing's hard. I mean,
right.
Very difficult, but
for sure.
Yeah.
So it was just a little bit of a poop show.
Yeah.
Some people say they pooped their pants.
Yeah. I still had fun, though.
Yeah, yeah. How was that? Because something we kind of thought about talking about was competition. And
right.
The lead up, how that is mentally. You know, obviously I've talked about how I'm a mental midget when it comes to that sort of thing, or LP, some like to call it. And it just rattles me completely.
For me, excuse me. For me, this time, I just said on impulse. I said register. I just did it. Mm-hmm. Right. There's always a reason for me not to compete.
Mm-hmm.
I could give, you know, I've work or I've been injured or, you know, many things, or I haven't feel like I've prepared enough, or, you know, I can talk myself out of it really easily. So I just said, nope, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And
was there any battle though? Was there?
Oh yeah.
And did we talk about that last time?
We did, but not really as much with competition, mm-hmm. right?
Where you looked for a way out.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important to get out of your comfort zone, and that will do it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't struggle as much this time with getting my mind to do it. Of course, getting out there and preparing, I was doing pretty well. I think, you know, a couple of days before I started having a little nerves come up, which I think is normal. What I did differently this time is I really did some breathing exercises before to kind of bring my nervous system down a bit.
So Olivia and I have started taping our mouths at night when we sleep. Is some of the breathing stuff, because of the stuff we've talked to you about, heard about, nose breathing is, I guess, like life-changing, and or it can be. Is it stuff like that that you're talking about with breathing exercises?
Yeah, so we could probably do a whole podcast on that, right? On the breathing, right? Yeah, for sure. But the short version is, you know, when you're chest breathing and using accessory muscles.
What do you mean by chest breathing?
Like this.
Where lifting, you're really expanding
where
your
you're
chest.
Well, it's lifting up. You're actually using muscles up here in the neck.
I can't see yours for some reason.
Because my neck's so huge.
No, it's just a little too much fat on it.
Yeah. Well, we'll go to another camera and compare arms. So, yeah. So, but when you're using these, so a lot of the neck muscles here actually connect to the ribs, the top of the rib. Mm-hmm. And they're useful when we're, you know, running away in flight or fight, right? It gets extra volume at the top of your lungs, right? And it's tied into the sympathetic nervous system. By the way, just a little quick announcement here. I'm struggling with certain sounds right now because I have more dental hardware in my mouth. Like S's are kind of rough. Yeah. So,
will you talk back to me like that? I'm going to smack you again.
Yeah, that's fine. Up the lips. So if you guys want to make fun of the speech, be creative.
Be creative, number one.
Number one. You can be ruthless, but be creative. I don't want to hear, okay, so anyway. So it's tied into that part of the nervous system, and it makes sense, right? Because when I really need to go full out effort, I want that engaged. Most of us live in a low-level flight or fight in modern society often. We shouldn't be living like that, but we do. And a lot of patients I see that have like chronic neck pain and headaches, the first thing I'm doing now is watching their breathing.
You're saying like a lot of people are just, that's like their standard. That's
just we're in a low level sympathetic nervous system. Like
from potentially all the stimulus that we're getting from whether it's the news feed, social media, just life.
Poor sleep. I mean, gosh, the whole, like I said, we'll dovetail this into a whole podcast. But when you're engaging those muscles, it tells the brain, hey, I need to turn on the flight or fight system. And it does the opposite of relaxation, right? So mouth breathing really lends itself to, you know, when you're really going full out, you have your mouth wide open and you're taking these big, deep breaths, right? And you're using these neck muscles to elevate. So I see that in patients all the time that have chronic neck pain, and I'm watching their breathing. That's how they're breathing at rest. Mm. We should never be breathing that way at rest. Mm. We should be breathing, trying to diaphragmatic breathing through our nose, which then activates the sympathetic, the parasympathetic nervous system to help kind of calm things, right?
What's the mooing thing?
The mooing?
Mooing. It's like, have you heard of where you press your tongue against the top of your mouth? Liv, you know what I'm talking about? They fix like dentistry issues.
Well, that's what I had in my mouth for 11 months is something pressing to widen my palate.
I think his name's like Dr. Moo or something like that.
I was MU. Right. It's the same idea of you put direct pressure on the palate. Mm-hmm. It will actually widen it and remodel the bone.
Liv, can you, this is the first one. Look that up, Liv.
Wow, you put her on the spot.
She was texting.
Well,
I was not.
But sometimes when you put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, it's hard to mouth breathe. Because
Right. Yeah. But I think, so maybe she'll find it, but it was, the guy did a bunch of studies in like third world country, and he was telling people, his, you know, clients or patients, that they need to, like, as they're just, as we're sitting here and you're not talking, but you are pressing your tongue to the roof of your mouth. And what happened is it actually straightened their teeth.
Well,
just without hardware or anything.
Because what that does is I just had that done artificially.
Right.
Right.
With the retainer thing, right?
Well, yeah. It had this plate pressing on the roof of my mouth. And right now, I still have a wire up there with the braces I just got on. That's right. And so what it does is it remodels the bone and expands the palate. So if you can watch on the camera here, it expands the palate outward, allowing more room for teeth. And that's the problem. It's turned into a dental discussion, but modern society, feeding kids soft food when they're young, they're not engaging those muscles and the jaw like it was supposed to be engaged. And we have these small, narrow palates. And you know, hear people getting their wisdom teeth taken out all the time, right? There's not enough room in there. So what he's talking about is when you even into adulthood, I'm over 50, and I gained about a centimeter in horizontal in my palate. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's huge. And now I have room for now those teeth to kind of go back to where they should be. Now I have room instead of crowding. It's like taking people off a bus, right?
Could you
or
eat
building
like
a big bus.
Bigger scoops of ice cream, you think?
I think I could. I think I can
Atta
do
kid.
It. Yeah. Exciting. But
okay, so back to breathing and how it
Yeah, that. So I mean, they're kind of related, but they're not. That's kind of, we're diverging off into the world of orthodontic and jaw development and all that, which is tied into breathing. But directly what I was talking about is trying to get more diaphragmatic breathing, relaxed exhales, so it calms down the nervous system, right? As opposed to sitting there and unconsciously, I mean, people may catch themselves while they're stressed. And I would encourage you guys to do this sometime. When you're having a real rough time or dealing with something, pay attention to what you're doing. A lot of people are taking these big kind of...
Like if you're taking a stressful call at work or something like that, and you find yourself... That's when I found, once I started hearing about this, I would be on the phone, I'd get some call that is like, we got to fix this. Yeah,
right.
I manage social media pages, so...
Putting out fires and stuff like that.
Yeah, we misspelled something or something like that. And I'll like... And it's like almost faster breathing a little bit.
It's faster, and it's that accessory muscle use here, right? That we shouldn't be using at rest. We just should.
So my brain thinks diaphragmic is the same
Diaphragmatic.
Thing. That too.
Yeah. So when you breathe through your nose, you have a smaller opening, and you try to breathe down.
To your belly.
Actually using more of your diaphragm. When your diaphragm contracts, it lowers, kind of pressurizes your... all of your internal organs, your gut.
Yeah.
And when the diaphragm lowers, it creates a negative space for now air to rush in. You don't suck air in. A lot of people think when I breathe, I'm sucking air in. You're not. You're lowering you're expanding a volume and creating a pressure differential between the air and inside your lungs. So when you expand, then air fills that space. So it's a matter of creating almost like a vacuum.
Got it.
In a way. And then when you exhale, the diaphragm goes back up, reducing the space, and air comes out. So breathing, really training your diaphragm instead of breathing with those accessory muscles all the time, enhances relaxation. So I was doing that specifically. And there's all kinds of different ways to do it. People have different methods, but... it's very, very helpful. Right before I go on, and even when I'm training, I try to do that. I'll sit there and
like after a hard round or something.
Or no, during even. Because oftentimes, especially when I'm really rolling fast or scrambling and all, I'll still try to maintain nose breathing consciously as much as I can.
That's something I worked on quite a bit, was trying to just do a round through my nose as much as
for
I
sure
can. I
mean, it's tough.
Yeah, I have to remind myself, not even necessarily because I'm getting out of breath, because I have like a very lazy style that I can not get real like worked up, you
well
know?
It's efficient, yeah,
but I'll still just start breathing through my mouth,
right?
Just naturally.
Well, you're grappling, it's a flight or fight situation, right? Typically. But if you can get into it, it's so much more energy conservation, right? When you're being able to nose breathe as long as possible. Right? Yeah. And also, like, if you're in the bottom of a real heavy mount or side control when you're getting compressed or neon belly, really breathing diaphragmatically in what we call circ, we will breathe in almost like a 360 degrees, not just out through the belly here, but think about breathing and creating space
in there and it's just expanding.
Yeah, Hicks and Gracie talks about that all the time, where you're on the bottom of side control, you don't have any room to for excursion up against, so you have that little bit of room down towards the mat to kind of get a breath in. Right.
Gotcha.
So learning how to breathe that way, and there's a bunch of ways, and we really should do a whole breathing podcast with some demonstrations with some video.
You're just trying to get my shirt off.
Hey, man. Yeah. Any chance I get.
Dirty.
But it's really, really useful. That's one of the things I did. And also, kind of stuff we talked about before is kind of letting go of all the attachments you have to the outcome.
Yeah.
That's which is very hard because, you know, we have an we have a really good instructor where he makes it a point. Andrew always says, hey, look, you're going to get better no matter what out of this competition. Of course, we all try to do our best and, you know, it's nice to win, but that shouldn't be your identity, you know, whether you won or lost. I mean, it's disappointing to lose, but you shouldn't be carrying that stuff with you. And think about what you did get out of that, right?
I think I have you know how sometimes, let's say you do something and then you have failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it's you're an alcoholic and you relapse.
Right.
Or something like crazy like that, or less significant. It can be cheating on your diet. It can be hard to get back on the wagon or get back in your groove when you're almost like emotionally defeated, right? And it can be difficult to like get back going again. And I think I have that with, but once you do it once, once you have a mini victory of, I'm not going to have that maple bar today, right? When I go to it, so I started trying to take down sugar intake a little bit. There's no sugar in that. Watch your mouth. And I also have been trying to really cleanse from gluten and stuff like that. So my gas station donuts, I've had to kick. Because as I've cleaned that palate a bit and gotten better, when I've gone back to them and like dabbled in them, I get the brain fog now.
You feel like crap.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Within an hour or two. Like I it's like really bad. So what I have with competition is, but before I started having that physical response, it was difficult. Once I would have one, I'd be like, and then the next day I would have it again and then again. Yep. So it'd be hard to get back in the groove. So like competing, I haven't competed in a long time. And I think part of it is because the last time I competed, I gave up. And I know I did. And it like hurts.
It stuck with you too a bit.
It something about it like really like, 'cause I was winning. But it was like,
I remember that. You were a blue belt at the time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I was there.
And I wasn't, like, he did, it was almost like he went for, like, omoplata, but he didn't even have my hand on the outside of the hip. It was almost like this, like, and he had his arm in there, and this was, like, where his crotch was, right? So he didn't even have it on the outside, like an omoplata. But I was so tired, and that was due to nerves, most likely, right?
Yeah, the adrenaline dump and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there, and then he starts grabbing my collar, like through his legs, and pulling my head in. And I'm struggling, like I'm asking myself, why am I even here? Mm-hmm. Like I'm going through all the mental. Like,
then you start looking for an out.
And I literally didn't like. I could have easily, even at that skill level, I could have easily not got my head sucked back in.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew exactly what was happening. It was happening so slowly that I was like, I know what he's doing, and I can literally stand mm-hmm. or something like that.
Right.
And I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I allowed my head to get pulled in, got triangled, and it's like that. There's probably only like 15-second mental war that was happening mm-hmm. for me right there. But I think that like scarred me so bad that I've the nerves I get when I even think like I was thinking about dropping in this Fuji tournament, mm-hmm. like, just not telling anybody and like just signing up and
dropping in. Right. Yeah.
And I just I literally couldn't sleep because I was visualizing winning and like trying to like mm-hmm. do that whole thing. And then I coached Carrie Ann at this tournament, Washington yeah. Submission Series, which was great. It was kind of spur of the moment a little bit. And I go coach her. Well, they needed some guys didn't show up in the 185 pound advanced division. And Steven, Carrie Ann's dad, bless his heart, was like, "Hey, Bill, you should do it. You should just jump in." Because I think they would have let me do it for free because mm-hmm. they just wanted bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was round robin. And I just look at Olivia. I don't know. And Olivia's encouraging me. She thinks I should, you know, like.
Right.
Right, Lou?
Yep.
It's like she was reading a book over there or something.
No, I'm not reading a book.
I'm just
joking. Let me see that scarf you're knitting. And, you know, they're not doing it in a mean way, right? They're just trying to encourage me. Like, you should do it, man. You'll do great. Like, that, you know, just being positive people. And I thought about it. I was like, this is perfect. There's no better time than when there's no expectation. No one even there. Like, there's like two people that knew. Who's the guy from Kindred that came today?
Oh, Justin.
Justin, like, yeah. he was competing. He knew who I was.
Right.
Other than that, no one on the team knows.
Right.
If I get just completely punished and destroyed, only like my wife sees it and like.
That really would have been like the best opportunity for you.
It would have been so
literally
good.
Nobody knows.
I could have just jumped in. And I didn't. I let it defeat. I was literally considering it. And I started peeing a little bit in my shorts. And I was like, I can't do it. I backed out. I didn't do it. And then I feel like poop to this day. And it was a week ago.
Yep. You know, because you've had that one experience. And now if you put yourself out there again.
But I think once I defeat that.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I can talk about it right now. And I know like it's like this weird like outer body experience where I can see what's happening.
Right.
And I know what's happening. And then I still succumb to the BS.
Yep.
I am.
Well, you know, people, especially at our academy, listening to this would be like, what do you mean? You'd be the last guy that they would think. I mean, you're one of the most technical guys in the gym and, you know, are a real hard role for most people. Except for maybe Brian or Mo and Andrew. But
yeah, there's a little bit of a list.
No, but my point is, though, you wouldn't be the guy that they'd be like, whoa, Bill feels that way, right?
Mm.
So it's going to take, it's like standing on a, you know, if you're jumped off, I don't know if when you were a kid, we used to go to quarries and jump off real high rocks.
Oh, sure. I crushed them. That little monkey bar set that's like a half globe.
Yeah.
Aurelius and I.
Well, I'm talking about into stuff. Water, like 50 feet.
Oh.
Right. My brother and I used to go down to this one quarry. Yeah. But you're like sitting there and you're like, okay, I know I can do that, but it's super scary.
Yeah.
And making yourself pull that trigger.
Isn't it scary that you like get paralyzed?
Totally. Oh my gosh. Dude, sometimes in the military, I've been in really.
Okay, but that's like real scary. I don't know. Something jumping into water is scary. Okay.
Well,
what's up?
Well, it's because we know that you don't like water.
But, you know, I mean, I understand where it's coming from. It's really hard to overcome. And then it becomes like a thought virus, right? That you can't.
Mm.
It's like this little.
It gets hungry.
Cycle, and fuller, yeah, and it's like
eats more and.
Yeah, and it gets kind of embedded. You
give
know?
It an inch, give mm-hmm. a mile,
and it's almost like you have to do. You almost have like ripping a Band-Aid off, right? You just have to go. All right, there's no excuse. I'm just gonna do it. You know.
Yeah.
But it's tough, man. It's, you know, because you're putting your, because none of us care. Whether you win or lose.
Right.
of course, it's nice to see our teammates win and succeed, but we're not going to be like, yeah, Bill, we can't really hang out with you anymore, man.
Right.
And I don't, you know?
Yeah. What do you think that is? That
I know where mine comes from. I think it's different from everyone. Those of us that had, dad issues,
mm-hmm.
Trying to please, back in the day, trying to live up to expectations or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the seeds kind of get set sometimes, or you feel like everything you do isn't quite good enough. You start doubting yourself, and then you start worrying about what other people think. And
I guess I could imagine that if you have a parent that was emotionally abusive in some sort of way, mm-hmm. or just left, or something of that sort.
Right.
There's a like something in you that is, you're just not good enough.
Yeah, you don't want to let other people down.
Yeah,
and it's
there's a fear of letting, because maybe you feel like you let them down multiple times because they told you, or them leaving is you let them down. They're disappointed, so right. they're gone, and that.
Yeah, I think that sticks, at least for me, it mm-hmm, did. Mm-hmm. It's something that was really hard to overcome. But it that whole competition thing, that's why, it really isn't the physical attributes or your skill level that defeats most people.
Yeah. I mean, Andrew was talking about that a little bit today.
Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah. I think the mental game gets most people. I can say when my biggest problem is still getting out of that flight or fight. And once I was able to do that, I felt a ton more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And things like...
Which the breathing helped with.
The breathing. And I also started doing stuff with my vision. I mean, people that get in a flight or fight response, the natural thing is to hone in the vision to a very, very... visual field narrows, right? And you're hyper-focused on something. Sometimes paying attention to your peripheral vision, even as you're walking out on the mat, really, like right now, I'm looking at you, but mm-hmm. if I pay attention, I can see Olivia off to the right.
What at the very gecko? How do you see
the At the very fields of my peripheral vision. I can see her moving, right? you got to make your eyes a little weird.
Can you wave or something?
Yeah. You got it, right?
I got it.
Yeah. So during the flight or fight response, that narrows, right? And if you're able to kind of, these little physiologic tricks of let's really pay attention and focus on our peripheral,
mm-hmm.
it helps reset the brain into that more of a parasympathetic mm-hmm. response. It doesn't mean to be passive or anything like that.
It's parasympathetic.
Sympathetic's flight or fight. Parasympathetic's the opposite. So if I walked around the corner and you scared me,
mm-hmm.
my heart started beating really fast, that's the sympathetic nervous system. After I calm down, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
what brings that heart rate back down is the parasympathetic.
Okay.
It's also the
like a quarter of the way understanding.
It's also the nervous system primarily involved with like digestion and stuff like that. You know? When you're running or fighting or doing something that requires the sympathetic nervous system, it kind of shuts off a lot of the gut activity. You're not going to, like your brain's like, hey, we shouldn't be digesting food right now. We got other stuff on, more important.
Got it. Just puts energy towards muscles or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it's there for a reason, but most of us are in our heads so much and have all these, whether it's anxiety about worrying about the future or kind of focusing on, oh man, I did something stupid today and mm-hmm. perseverating on that.
Dude, what was that?
Perseverating.
That's a cool word.
Do you know what that means?
No.
It means when you perseveration is like it's a term used a lot in psychiatry when people kind of get stuck on something,
just like fixated
over and over. Yeah, they're like on, like if you ever had someone is talking about one subject and they just every time you talk, they keep talking they can't. That's perseveration.
They're donuts.
Is it similar to ruminating or different?
Ruminating is thinking about something in the past that you're like, hey, that meeting didn't go so well. No, perseveration is not getting a certain thought out of your head over and over and over.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the layman's way of describing. There's a psychiatric definition too that we're not going to get into. It won't serve any purpose.
Sure, sure.
But
I took you off.
I know. Yeah, I didn't. Even, now you know I'm old. You got to redirect me. I don't know where I was.
Liv, your job.
Well, you guys were just talking about prep and like when you're at the competition, like getting into a parasympathetic mode.
Yeah.
Oh, and then people are they start fixating on something. Then you said your word.
Yeah.
Then you're trying to get out of that mode.
Sympathetic state, right?
Yeah, and you don't need to. You know, it doesn't mean you need to just sit there and lay down on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
But trying not to get that big adrenaline dump.
It's more so just being conscious of what your mind and your body are doing.
Yeah, and your surroundings too, right? And I noticed when I started looking at my peripherals. And then I was able to actually get rid of a lot of that rigidity. That's my biggest problem with competing. Right. And I get injured because of that too. But I was this is the first competition where I was very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really good after my first match too. Mm-hmm. And I could have gone more. When I remember as a white belt years ago, I was done.
Yeah. Or even during the ramp up for this tournament, when it was more the beginning of
right? You saw me struggle with
after one round. You were really exhausted
because in my mind, I flipped on competition mode. I'm like, "What am I doing?" Right?
Yeah.
Andrew talked with me. It really helped, and your feedback and all that, because you'll flip into you'll flip that switch, and it's hard not to, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, why am all of a sudden am I rolling differently?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Intensity is higher and all that, but why am I so all of a sudden like white belt rigid again?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense, right? So that was a big growing thing for me. This competition was super valuable in that for me because of that.
Yeah.
And now it's now planted in my brain.
Right.
That's how I'm going to approach, and I'll have a lot less nerves leading up to the next one.
You got a lot better just from this one.
For sure.
Experience.
Absolutely. As far as competition goes.
Yeah.
So
we decided to do this podcast as, once again, another test podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we intentionally are making it short.
Yeah.
A good reader leaves the listeners always wanting more.
Did you say a good reader?
A good reader. A good author, maybe.
You know, it depends on where you come from. Okay. I'll burn this whole freaking place down.
How dare you contradict me?
And it took a little bit longer to set up because we had a little buzz going on, and hopefully it's not recording that right now. And
when you mean figure it out. We got a little buzz going on, it's not from alcohol. We mean there was actually a literal buzzing noise.
Actually.
You got in there.
We found out there's 300 milligrams of caffeine in this.
That would kill me.
That's why it's here. Liv, get the duct tape.
It's really good that you're drinking that at 8 o'clock at night, too.
I got to go shoot an event after this. So.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking the whole thing. I'm only like halfway on this.
Bill, I'm not judging, man.
Thank you. Just
You can freaking freebase that for all I care. Put it right. It doesn't matter to me. So anyway.
So what I was getting at is that we're going to cut this one short. Yep. And we thank you for listening. And we're going to probably do another one of these. But we're pretty much on the back end of testing. And we're going to start rolling out some actual episodes of The Grappling With. And we'll put it out there on social media. We'll have its own Instagram page. Own YouTube page, and it'll have its own Spotify page, so stuff isn't uploaded on the Speakeasy.
So, before we break, we have an upcoming competition that's available to us at December 18th, right?
Oh, the Grappling Industries.
Yeah, and if any of our folks are listening to this, and you're on the fence, just go do it.
And that's a good one because it's not ran like Fuji.
Right.
If you're worried about losing $80, because a lot of people just didn't show up because it was such a mess.
Right.
Or they got one match and they didn't even, it was just a mess.
They typically are well run.
Typically, yeah, because they run more tournaments a year than any other event
in the world. You know, competition is a skill in itself, right? So.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew said it best that today is it's not always the best jiu-jitsu practitioner that wins competitions, especially at the lower levels. It can just be the person that can turn it on, like can have the aggression to go and to fire. That could be the person that does that.
Not doesn't hesitate.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily translate quite as much at the higher levels, mm-hmm. but still is a factor for sure.
Yeah, even that with me at brown belt level, there's points when I was watching, and it's really helpful to go watch your matches again too. I watched the video taken, and there's several instances. Andrew and I watched it a mm-hmm. little bit together, and there's several things where I could have taken advantage of something, and I didn't. And I hesitated, right? So there's a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Look forward to that. Yeah, we encourage people to jump out there. And if we'll be posting more stuff as we get our accounts set up and all that. And we'll do like a nice little announcement.
Yeah, and we'll tell everybody what platforms it's going to be on and all that stuff.
Yeah, which it's basically going to be on all of them. It'll pump out to everything. But we'll always, like, if you look in the description, there'll be a YouTube link for the visuals on this one, so you can kind of get a taste, little snifter of if you like to listen to stuff on podcasts, which I like, that's what I do.
Yeah, and comparing whose arms are better.
Just know the lighting is tapered a little bit towards him. You can't quite see. I got the vascularity though on this one though.
It's very nice. No, I really don't. Yeah, I really don't know.
Intimidation.
Yes, sir.
First product.
Anyway, Olivia, thank you for all you're doing
put
back
the
there.
Camera on you, Olivia, and wave.
Yep.
Hey.
Excellent.
Got a pink light back there. Okay.
Awesome.
Till next time.
Yep. Later.
Oh, she did a drop.
It's right on.
She did the drop. Hey.
You're my Barry White impression the whole year.
You just turn it off like that?
What do you want me to do?
Let it play.
Oh, I'm sorry.